Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings be upon all the righteous ones from the beginning of time, on Adam, on Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, and all the righteous prophets forever. I begin with the greeting words of the righteous. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. I thank Allah constantly for being a Muslim. Especially in these times that we are living in, these confusing times where people are not sure of their identity, they're not sure of where they're going, they're not sure of the state of the planet itself. I was raised in the 60s in the United States of America in the northeast corner in a city called Boston. And during that time, as a teenager during the 60s, we were going through tremendous changes in the society. People were questioning their identity. People were questioning where society is going, who are we. They were searching for their roots. They were questioning the economy. They were questioning the war in Vietnam. So many things were happening, and I was raised in an area where there was a lot of thinking going on. And so from a young age, there were certain issues that were extremely important to me. One was the issue of spirituality. The second was the issue of my own personal identity. And the third was the issue of justice and equality. In terms of spirituality, I was raised and taken to a Christian church. First we were Baptist, then we went up the scale to Episcopalian, which is like Anglican. And being in that Christian setting, I always remember the warm feeling that I had in thinking about Jesus and Mary, peace be upon them. I truly believed in the ethics and the morals and the teachings that were being given to me from a very young age. My mother was a devout Christian. We used to constantly go to the church, and we used to pray. But when we went to the level of the Anglicans or the Episcopalians, they started to introduce communion. And in this communion, we were told to eat the body of Christ, who has shed his body for us and given a little wafer. We were also told to drink the blood of Christ and then given a little bit of wine. And when you put the wafer with the wine, it almost tastes like blood or skin that is covered with blood. And so that was strange to me. What is the relationship between eating a body and drinking blood? And Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him. Also, the picture of Jesus, who was shown as a European man, and they were saying that he was the son of God. Sometimes they said he was God transformed into a human form. That was also strange to me, and I felt left out. Because if a person of European origin was the son of God or God, that meant people who look like that are God-like. And people who do not look like that are on a different scale. And so I began to feel inequality and injustice in the church. I used to pray constantly the Lord's Prayer, where we were saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we continued to pray this. I used to pray constantly at night to the one God who I believed in very strongly. But the concept of a father and a son and a Holy Ghost that couldn't be defined, that was a little bit strange to me. And when I questioned the ministers and the priests, they couldn't properly answer the question. They said it's a mystery. It's something that you cannot grasp. That was strange to me because everything else in the universe was so straightforward and the systems were there and I had a strong belief in God. So as a young, rebellious teenager, I left the church completely and I began to search for spirituality. I encountered Buddhism. I encountered Hinduism. I had Jewish friends. I looked at the traditions of many different peoples. I even came into the followers of Elijah Muhammad, a group called the Nation of Islam. But that did not satisfy me either because they said that God was a man and that Elijah was the last prophet. So that didn't satisfy me as well. And finally, when I began to read about the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and I was able to get a copy of the Quran, then it started to answer my questions. The more I read of his life, the more I came to love this man. The more I read about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, I realized that this was Jehovah. This was the Lord who I was worshipping through the Lord's Prayer. Now it was clear. The Tawheed, the oneness of God, was so clear to me and so straightforward that I grasped onto it and I took on this way of life. And this helped me with the second question that I was dealing with, and that was my identity. Because not only did the Tawheed give us the oneness of God, it also showed us the oneness of humanity. My family, I was raised, we're African Americans. So I was raised in this light, but I knew that my grandmother was native from the Mohawk tribe. I also knew that I had relatives from Europe. So it was a mixed parentage, and I began to question this. And the identity of a Muslim now puts you in the human family. You are part of the children of Adam and Eve, and there's no difference between white and black or black and white, no difference between Arab and non-Arab, and vice versa, illa bittaqwa, except with piety and right action, the consciousness of God. And so that answered my question, and it, in a sense, put me into the human family. And so it is through that that I was able to travel. I used to read National Geographic and look at the different countries, and I wanted to travel through the earth to find more about this way of life. The third question then came up, and that was the question of justice. And I realized that it's not enough to be worshiping God alone. There has to be a world view. There has to be a system where equality, politically, economically, socially, is also involved in the system. And so Islam again answered that question. Because Islam being a way of life and not just a religion in the Western sense, it gave equality in terms of my humanity. It gave equality in terms of zakah, where people were giving their welfare contribution every year. There was no need for a communist takeover, for a coup d'etat. People would naturally give their zakat in an Islamic state, and this would be distributed to the poor and the needy. So the justice concept was there, and the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, this really showed me the man, because he was living with the poor people. He said he wants to be raised, to live with the poor, to die with the poor, and to be raised on the day of resurrection with the fuqara, with the poor people. And coming from an underprivileged background, that gave me a feeling of equality and justice. And I realized that within the Islamic system, there was great justice. And this answered my questions, and especially another person that I studied, because I love history, and I used to read the books of history and read about different nations. And one person stood out to me, that was Sultan Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah. He was the great leader of the Muslim world who confronted the Crusaders, who had conquered the East, and who had enslaved the people and murdered so many in Jerusalem, that the Sultan united the forces of Islam, and he defeated the Crusaders, and then he had mercy on them. So he did not kill innocent people, he did not commit genocide, but he had mercy even on the people who had slaughtered his own. I realized that was the example of Christ. That was the example of Jesus. That was the example that I was looking for in Christianity, that it came through the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his life, and then it also showed itself in his followers. And so this was a way to live the message of the prophets, to be like Abraham, to be like Moses, to be like Jesus. In the personality of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the finality and the seal and that living example in all different aspects of life. And so it gave me not only a spiritual unity, a straight way to talk to God, but it also gave me a way to live. And that was something that was missing in America amongst our people, because we were separated from Africa. We did not know our true roots in the African continent. We were called, they called us Negroes, and they gave us names that were not really our family names. And so we lost our way of life. But Islam brought it back. Islam gave a way to raise your family, to interact with your wife, to live with your neighbors, to live within society. I was searching for all of these things. I felt like an empty cup, and Islam filled me with a divine way of life. And so that was a great benefit for me and a great mercy. And alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again for letting me be a Muslim and really freeing me from the confusion that people were in the 60s in the United States and the confusion that was spreading around the world. And so through Islam, I was able to deal with some of the bad habits that I have due to come out of the state of ignorance, being lost in the society, in the world of drugs, in the world of crime, in the world of confusion. I was able to come out of this and to live a decent life. And this impacted so much on my mother, and especially the fact that I didn't change my family name. I said, instead of Ronald Kenneth Quick, I said Abdullah Hakim Quick. So I changed the first two names, and I kept the last name. And so that really affected her very much. And when she saw that I had transformed, you know, into a good person, she eventually, alhamdulillah, accepted Islam before her death. And so that was a great privilege for me and a great benefit. And I thank Allah Azza wa Jal over and over again. What I would like to say to those who are embracing Islam is that the real essence of the message is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He has sent prophets and messengers to every nation and every tribe, that they should worship one deity and stay away from the false gods. So Tawheed is in every human being. The child is born with the oneness of God. The child is a Muslim. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, it is the parents who will change him into a Christian or a Jew or a fire worshipper. But the child is Muslim. And so every person on the inside is Muslim. So you don't have to feel like you're a foreigner. You don't have to feel like you've converted to Islam. You have returned to your essence. And when you come into Islam, you will find in many cases that much of the ethics and morality of Islam, you already knew about it. But this is an organized way. You may have already been praying. You may have already changed your diet. You may have already fasted. But this is an organized way. This is the final message which gives guidance to people of all societies, all different ways of life throughout the world. And so you need to come in and make the transition. But the transition should be in stages. Don't try to do everything right away. And even according to the rules of Islam, the Sharia, a person does not have to immediately make all the prayers or immediately cover up or immediately fast every day in Ramadan. They're able to move in stages. So come in and try your best. I was able to fast right away. I was very serious. And so I came into Islam 2 days before the month of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, I fasted straight through every day in Ramadan. I learned to pray, although it was very difficult in Taraweeh, the night prayers in Ramadan, it was killing my knees. But alhamdulillah, I made the transition because I was serious. But you move in the stages which correspond to your lifestyle and your body. If you have a chemical problem, if you are addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol, addicted to gambling, then you take your shahada, you come into Islam, and then you deal with your addiction. And through your practice, through your strong hold on your belief in Allah, and through the guidance of counselors and physicians, inshallah, you are able to overcome a chemical problem, any problem you have in the society. But the key thing is that remember that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Islam wipes away all those sins that came before. So if you have done wrong, if you have worshipped idols, anything you have done, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرِ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرِ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Allah forgives all sins. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Whatever we have done, if we are sincere and we come into Islam, then inshallah we have forgiveness. But if you have done something wrong, try to pay back, try to do compensation. Compensate those who you have done wrong to. Try in the most intelligent way to make up for the wrongs that you have done, even if it means to say something nice about a person, even if it means to send somebody some money anonymously in the mail, which you know, pays back for some wrong or injustice that you have done. Allah is most merciful. He has given us a chance to be following the last and greatest of the prophets and messengers. He has given us a chance to speak directly to Him. And that is a mercy that I thank Allah Azza wa Jal over and over again. And I pray that Allah would have mercy on you and mercy on me and accept us into the ummah, into the nation of Muslims throughout the world. You have brothers and sisters all over the planet. May Allah unite our ranks. May Allah accept us and give us the best in this life and the hereafter. May Allah make our last words the same words we said in our kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make this the last words on our lips and accept us into paradise. I leave you with these thoughts and I ask Allah to have mercy on me and you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.